Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today is Tell Del Tuesday, where we bring in one of our members and have them share their experiences with you. I wanted to, before I introduce them, just put out there some of the results they've had. Because I think it's rather interesting. They bought an 8-unit. They held it for 2.5 years. They sold it for 168% return. They had a 36-unit that they held for 18 months. They made 112% return. They had a 24-unit they held for 3 years. They got 168% return. They had a 44-unit they held for 4 years. They got a 30% return. And they had a passive deal. I'm sorry, there was a couple of these were passive. They had a 24-unit that they held for 2.5 years at 178% return. So they had 6 passive deals, 3 lead deals where they were the syndicator themselves, 1 IRO deal where they bought it all by themselves, bought an apartment all by themselves, and they bought 1 rent house. Now, having said that, interestingly enough, this couple first got started at Lifestyles with Kathy, the wife, kicking, screaming, fighting, clawing not to do this. She thought it was a Ponzi scheme and so forth. And so Cliff brought her in and made her listen to it. So Cliff and Kathy Caldwell, welcome to the show. I want to hear about your skepticism.
Good morning, Dale. What a great intro. I wasn't a skeptic, but Kathy definitely was. And I had to actually go ahead and sign up for the two-day and then tell her she was not happy at all. When she found out that it was 8 a.m. in the morning until 5 in the evening for Saturday and Sunday. But after she got to the class, we sat in front of David Fisher 2 to 3 hours in. She was hooked.
Obviously, you guys came back this weekend and spent a whole 2 more days doing it. So this must have been just for fun, since you obviously already got yourself a lot of successful deals. That wasn't the problem. Cliff, let's take this back to the beginning of your story where you had decided that you weren't completely happy with your careers, and you both had good careers, and that's the thing I want people to understand, is that when I say things like, you know, you're living a life of quiet desperation, that doesn't mean you're not successful. That doesn't mean you don't have a good career. It's not meant to be an insult in any way, shape, or form. It's just that, hey, you get it, wake up one day and go, you know, this isn't fulfilling. I'm not getting where I want to be, and I don't see the future happening. So how did that happen to you? What happened that made you start looking for something else?
Well, Kathy and I both wanted to do something that we could do together, and we wanted to do something that where we could build our own family office and work on our own legacy we can leave behind. We both had great careers. We both had fun in the roles we served. I worked for a fantastic company that took great care of us. There was no bad issues with the company. And Kathy had the same type of position too. We just wanted to do something that we could do together. We were actually looking at other ways to make money together. And then another member of Lifestyles, who was a coworker of mine, he shared bits and pieces of the map, turned me on to the podcast. I started listening. And then just a few months later, we became members. Since we signed up and joined, we have not looked back.
I think it's interesting, Cliff, that in your dissertation, you brought up the part that you had looked into a bunch of different things, like franchises. I did, too. Yeah. I looked up Subway sandwich shops. You know, I looked at buying franchises. I looked at buying all different kinds of businesses. Your statement was very, very close to what I said to myself. It looks like I'm buying a job. What did you think about it when you looked into them?
When I looked into them, and the one that we were most interested in was, we live on the water. We enjoy being on boats. This was a boat, kind of boat sharing club. I would have to pay like $45,000 to join at the time, and I would get a flag and a software program. And then I would need to go out and buy several hundred thousand dollars worth of boats And at that point, I have no customers. Now I have to build up a customer base. When we look at the apartment communities that we purchase, we buy a business with built-in customers and we cash flow day one. So that was kind of a selling point for us. And then just the power of doubling our money every couple of years, potentially. And we've done it. We've done it multiple times. And we've just followed the map that you present in the 2-day, and it works.
So, Kathy, 2 hours in, you're changing your tune about this thing. What aha moment did you have in that first couple hours that changed your mind about this?
It was when the realization that, you know, going to school, getting good grades, which I didn't, going to college, which I didn't, getting a good job, you know, and saving and saving and saving, you know, and you, in the meantime, you're raising a family, you know, and with all those expenses, and then you finally get to kind of maybe start saving some money for yourself, and then you retire and you hope to, you know, die before your money runs out. When that was explained to me like that, it was like, oh, this is not going to work. Like, I don't know how it's going to work for anybody, but it's definitely not going to work for me. So I was a single mom in there for many years with the boys, and I definitely wasn't saving money, you know, for retirement at that time, and at not any great scale that would benefit me. So that was my aha moment. It was just that's a terrible plan, and I didn't get good grades, and I didn't go to college. Like, so I had all that against me. So yeah, it was that was it right there.
Yeah, wow. So you messed up the path that everybody's supposed to take, and you didn't even use it correctly.
Yeah.
Cliff, what aha moments did you pick up on since you were there with a different point of view?
For me, it's the cash out refi that we could enhance the income of a business and then go back to Mr. Banker and show him our performance, reevaluate the value, and then pull cash out tax-free. That was, to me, the most powerful tool that we have kind of in our toolbox in real estate.
So, guys, you started out as passives and got your feet wet and also watched people. What made you decide you want to go ahead and do some of this on your own?
Well, we kind of knew from the get-go that being a lead was our end game, where we wanted to be. So as we were working with our mentor, he was like, pump the brakes. You need to be an IRO, independent real owner, prior to being a steward of somebody else's money. So not really the information I wanted to hear at the time, but it was the wise information we needed to hear. And we did it. We did exactly what he said, and we bought the 8-unit. We bought it, started building our team. We did our renovations. We were supposed to buy it, renovate it, get it ready, sell it in a year, and hopefully make $20,000 or $30,000 gain. And we did exactly what he said, but we ended up making more like a $200,000 gain on that particular property. And close to towards the end of being that cycle, we had became leads on our first small 36-unit deal.
What did you find to be different about being a lead than being an IRO? Anything?
You know, I take extreme pride and ownership of what we do. We are stewards of people's money. As long as I take care of my residents and take care of my properties, I'm able to take care of myself and all my investors. So I guess just that knowledge of knowing I'm going to do what I can do to make sure that I follow the map and make my properties perform, everything else is going to fall into place. But as far as the difference of being on our own or being leads, you know, there is a slight difference, but I know that I'm doing what I need to do on my end to make sure that we perform well and we take care of our investors and take care of our residents.
Yeah, I have a special demand in my brain when I'm, you know, working with other people's money. I just wondered if you felt that. It's a weird thing, but, you know, I can go into a deal like your first deal and enjoy the fact that it's gone up in value. I made a lot of money, but I don't feel the need to cram it, to make it happen. You know what I mean? So it's boom, let's go kill this thing. But when you go in there and you're a lead, immediately to me, it creates the pressure that I got to get this thing done, you know? And I owe these people to put their life savings up to make something happen. Yeah. And quickly, and I've seen people to get in there and they piddle putts around, and just by piddle putting around, they lose that advantage they have when they first take over a property. So let's talk about when you took over property. Pick one you like to speak about the most, and talk about the kinds of things you did. You know, in the 2-day, I talk about 28 ways to increase the rental income, all the different variable types of income out there, and a couple different ways to control the expenses. What approaches did you put into play to make your properties worth more?
The first mistake we made with our 8 units, we started renovating interiors before we got to the exterior. We learned really fast that exteriors first, then interiors, if you can't work it parallel. And at that time, we were just building our team, so we were slower. When we got to our second deal, we were much faster. We had a team, so we were able to implement a plan and begin implementing, you know, enhancing the looks of the community, enhancing the interiors of the community. And then we were able to command higher rents for that. And actually, we've had people come tell us, this is the nicest place I've ever lived. Thank you so much. So just doing the renovations, being able to ask for a better rent amount, taking care of our residents, and then implementing other ways such as installing water conservation equipment, whether it's toilets, shower heads, aerators, water saver valves, looking at ways that we can reduce that cost, implementing items such as reserved parking so we can increase our income there. And everybody wants a spot. They want their spot. They will pay for reserved parking before they pay for a lot of other things. So those are just a few of the things that we've done that I can recall right now.
I'd like to comment on very, very important point you made, the doing the exterior rehab first. For those of you out here listening to this, and you've done things and you've tried to do some of this. He is so right. So many people go in there and go, let's go make the units nice. You know, nobody sees the units when they're driving by. I would like to share the concept. You never get a second chance to make a first impression. And if your exterior is not pristine, if it's not perfectly clean and functional, everything is just spot on, then they're going to drive right by. And no matter how much work you do on the inside of the unit, they'll never see it because they're not going to come in.
We had a ton of no-shows until we had the exterior cleaned up and pristine.
Absolutely. Very big point. When you were then, let's say we now, you and I and the listening public here, now understand we got to do that exterior work first. Now we've got it looking pristine. One of the mistakes I see people make sometimes is they over-renovate the interiors because in their own mind they go, this is the way I'd want it to look, but somebody's not willing to pay a high enough rental amount to get it to where you want it to look because maybe they're more price sensitive than they are amenity sensitive. Did you find this to be true ever, and did you do market testing as you started renovating to figure out where that limit was that you could go up to?
You know, we pretty much have a standard package we do on most of our units. There are some things that we've trimmed off, like doing some of our units we were putting backsplash in. We found that we don't need to necessarily do a backsplash and we can get the same amount of rent. But most of our packages are just, you know, cleaning the unit, painting them the same color, putting the standard floor in it and the standard, you know, upgrades such as ceiling fans, light fixtures, doorknobs. So they're pretty standardized. I basically have a classic and then an upgraded model. And I offer both. I take my clean, really, really clean units that I can just clean up and re-rent and have kind of two price points for my customers.
Well, that's doing it perfectly. In fact, the fact that you actually caught that the backsplash didn't bring you any more money is what I was talking about. Because, you know, some people just, well, you know, I want it to be there so it'll look the way I want it to look, but sometimes it doesn't bring in additional money. I've done that myself. It's in my 2-day training class about how I've done that. I just started building stuff because I wanted to look a certain way. And then the manager goes, hey, I'm leasing them for the same amount without all that stuff. And then you go, well, wow.
Yeah.
you know. So, hey, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with Cliff and Kathy Caldwell and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
To creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Lifestyles Unlimited wants you real estate retired. Learn the roadmap to wealth building. Impact your family for generations. Just like Lifestyle members Chad and Lisa.
Our kids are actually involved, and so they're learning the ropes. They see this in their future. It's benefited our children in the way they think of their future. It's taught them how to think in the millions.
Learn from the best. Lifestyles Unlimited, teaching you how to retire in 5 years or less while building generational wealth. In this rapidly changing environment, now's the time to take action. Go to GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Enter code 2024 for a $297 two-year membership. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. That's GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Enter code 2024 for our Financial Freedom Program membership special. $297 for 2 years. That's 66% off our regular price. With over 33 years of educating and mentoring experience, let Lifestyles Unlimited help you become real estate retired. Go to GiveMeTotalFreedom.com.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Here we are today on Tell Del Tuesday, and we're having a little chat with Cliff and Kathy Caldwell out of Corpus Christi. Guys, you were at my 2 day this weekend, and I basically did an update of material. And one of the things that I updated people on was the fact that over the last 18 months, a lot of serial syndicators out there that just kept blowing and going, buying indiscriminately anything and everything, even when the prices were ridiculous, started having some problems. And truly, like the first time in 34 years I've been doing this, the people got that whacked out and crazy and started paying way too much for real estate. Now, as I spoke about this weekend, the prices have come back down again, thank gosh, to where we can get these quality deals like these six deals you've done are quality deals. How did you decide when it was time to go on to the next deal so that you didn't injure the previous deals? You know, because you're out there, you're spinning plates, you're hustling, you're getting things done, and you've got other people's money invested in your companies. And then you decide to do another one, which means a little bit less attention is going to be paid to the previous businesses so that you can come over here and put total focus on a new one to get it up and going. How did you balance that, guys?
Well, we followed the map. We got our properties capital expenditures complete. We got them stabilized. We have people in place to take care of the day-to-day working in the business portion. And when we felt comfortable with operations, we were able to go ahead and proceed to the next deal. We've got up to a point now where we're like, time to pump the brakes. Let's just focus on the assets we have in our possession. And let's just refine our operations for the next year to 2 years before we think about buying our next property. And we're kind of at our bandwidth. The company I previously worked for, when they built their company, they intentionally built it slow so that they could perfect their operations. And we've got to a point where we need to, like, stop and just have a focus on the three assets we have. And typically 3 to 4 days a week, I am making site visits at every property and then looking over the financials pretty much every day. So that's kind of how we operate. Until we can get our operations a little bit better and get more team members in place, we're not going to be ready to move to the next one. So I totally see where these serial syndicators get way ahead of themselves and they can't focus on what they have currently under their possession of ownership.
It's interesting when you look at hindsight's 2020, obviously, for everybody. But I've been going back and looking at some of these deals, and you wouldn't believe it. I spoke with a passive yesterday, and they were telling me about a deal, and I spoke to the lead about the deal. And quite honestly, you know, what we talked about this weekend, there's a cap rate you should be able to obtain for A, B, C, and D. And they had purchased a Class D property in every sense of the word, a Class D, and they bought for more expensive than a Class A cap rate. I mean, they had bought it for 3.9 cap rate for a Class D, which is ridiculous. And it's no doubt that those people were destined to fail. I mean, it's just so obvious. And it, what's interesting is that I showed to the passive that it was actually in their PPM. It was, you know, all the material, everything that was needed to go, you know, this isn't a very good deal, was right there in front of them. Yet they elected to get into it anyway. So I think that the term passive is so actually true that everybody that becomes a passive investor wants to literally be passive. They don't want to worry about the deal. They want the lead to be worried about the deal. And so to think that if you're passive, you can just blindly believe that whatever the lead tells you is true until you look at the numbers is wrong. So obviously you haven't had any of those bad deals. Let me ask you about your possibilities then. Since you've not gone overly aggressive, you've got two properties here, a 109 and a 120, which are both very good positions. I loved my 100-unit properties. Guys, as we started this whole thing 7 years ago, your goal was to have a family business that you could work together on. You had some idea that that would be where you'd be more comfortable. Both of you had good career jobs, especially Cliff, 25 years, you know, great career. Now that you've done it, is it really a better life than having a job? I'm curious to hear, you know, I'm always saying what gets in the way of a great life is a good life. What's it like now to have your life back in your own hands?
It's a wonderful blessing, Dale. I mean, and our mindset continues to change from being an employee somewhere to being a business owner. And the fact that Kathy and I can get up every day, have a plan, work together, whether we're together or we're kind of dividing and conquering, or if we decide today is a day that we're going to spend doing some recreation, just gives us the freedom to choose how we want to live our lives daily and plan. Now, we don't have to ask for a day off. We don't have to put in for a PTO day or call in sick or anything like that. So it's been just a fabulous blessing, and it actually happened. It happens faster than you think it's going to happen. From the time you walk out of the 2-day and you've signed up, you get on the map and you start the roller coaster ride, and getting from being an employee to retirement from your W-2 job happens relatively quick.
I was noticing in your resume that you had kids, and I wanted to know, how has it affected your family, your kids?
For me, it's been super great. I was a single mom. I worked a lot. I missed a lot of things for my children because I had to be committed to my job. And I missed a lot of Thanksgiving lunches with the kids and Mother's Day lunches, the field trips. I just couldn't participate in those kinds of things. Now, my job gave me an opportunity to offer my kids some vacations and some trips and some other things that I wouldn't have been able to normally offer. So, you know, that was good. But now, you know, I've got one son that's in high school. He graduates this year, and he'll call me and say, you know, Mom, I left my lunch home, and bring it to me. Guess what? I can run downstairs, grab his lunch, and take it right over to the school. And, you know, I never would have been able to do that before. All three of our boys have worked for us. We've got a 26-year-old, a 21-year-old, and an 18-year-old. The 26-year-old has worked for us. He did some maintenance work for us for a while. Our 21-year-old has been, Del, he started with me. He went to my first expo with me. He was 15 years old. He went to every single one of those expos every year since then. except last year he had to miss because he was diagnosed with leukemia, which, you know, I don't know if you're aware, but when you have leukemia, you have your life stops. And he was 20 years old, and my life had to stop with him. I spent over 35 days in the hospital with him, straight not being able to come home. We were in San Antonio at that. I never could have done that if I had had a job where I was before. And then there were other weeks, several weeks after that, where I had to be in the hospital with him. Since then, though, he's worked for some other apartment complexes, starting off as leasing agents when we just didn't have a position for him. And now he's working for us. He's kind of a regional, and he manages all of our managers, and he's been phenomenal help. And it's great to have, you know, the family in the business. Our senior in high school, he gets out at 2:30. He goes to work for us at 3. He gets out at 6, 7, whatever. And he's helping in the maintenance department, too. The boy can lift a piano, so he's fabulous at moving appliances across the property. So, yeah, oh,
he's
yeah.
a little muscle man still, and he's not work school or working. He's at the weight room getting his gains.
Yeah. Unbelievable. So when we say the words on the close of every radio show, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. I have a sense that when you're sitting there with that sick child in that hospital, or you're taking care of them, or you're seeing your kids grow in the business, that has value above and beyond the cash flow, huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, without a doubt.
You build such good friendships within lifestyles. When Kathy and Casey were at the hospital, we had more Lifestyles members come to the hospital and support us than anybody. We didn't have any of our previous friends come, and they actually, the members came more than even our own family at the time, bringing food, bringing drinks, bringing dinners, bringing whatever we needed. Members from the San and Central Texas area were there for us, offering places to stay, and whatever we needed, they were there. They were just a phone call away. It was amazing.
Yeah,
well, you know, I'm gonna step up for your family and say, you know, you got to be aware that the Lifestyles members have the time and the money to be that giving, whereas mm-hmm. maybe exactly. your family had to work or they don't have that kind of money. And so I understand what you're saying, and it really is nice. But, you know, think about, you ever want to be philanthropic? It's kind of hard to be philanthropic when you're broke. It's kind of hard yeah. to be there for your right. family when you got to go to work 12 hours a day or six, you know, 5 days a week all the time. So really, you know, mm-hmm. that's a great thing. Guys, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing this stuff with us. And I look forward to seeing you in more case studies and continue to grow your business, and hope mm-hmm. your family gets involved. And really, I look forward to seeing your sons get some deals, because we've got a bunch yep. of young people right now getting in here and getting these deals done. So I look forward to them, especially. Like, I guess you don't want to let him go, though. He's your supervisor.
Now, we're hoping to give it all to him so we can go to Cabo.
There you go. Well, that's the next step. All you have to do is buy one more property to where you can afford to do that. All right, guys, remember out there, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Wamsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.